and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast, coming to you this week from HP reInvent 2019 in Houston, Texas, where 2 years ago, 2.5 million people came out for the world's biggest livestock show and rodeo. I'm Robert Dodd, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. We kick off the podcast live, quote-unquote, from reInvent today with an interview with Tuan Tuan, global head of office printing solutions for HP. In literally the hours before reInvent started, HP launched a broad portfolio of new business laser printers, and we start our conversation by tackling what partners need to know about these new A3 and A4 products. From there, we talk a bit about the opportunity for partners to build more advanced apps on HP printers to support workflow and business processes, and discuss the evolution of prescriptive analytics on HP's print lineup, an evolution that Tron believes will eventually cut the cost of supporting printers by two-thirds. We also discuss what it's going to take for managed print to become a broader play in the channel over time, and Tran offers his thoughts on why designing printers with managed services in mind leads to a more sustainable print environment. Tuan, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, glad to be here.
You guys came up with a pretty big launch in the A3 and A4 lineups, basically the whole laser lineup for business. Can you walk me through some of the things that you think partners should be excited about the new offerings?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is, as you look at our A3 lineup, we've been adding to that lineup over the last, I'd say, 2 years pretty aggressively since our event back in Boston a couple years ago after the Samsung acquisition. So for that, I think for the A3, the news is we're bringing our products down a couple of hundred, probably $200 to $300 in terms of starting position to give that value side. On the A4 side, basically refreshing, adding 600 series, which is a work group type product, which gives you better cost per page. But I think aside from the hardware, which gives you better speeds and feeds, I think probably a couple of things the partner should be excited about. Number one is SDS, that really good Tom Cruise kind of SDS, predictive analytics video. But really, it is about robots, not interns, about robots actually looking and predicting, drum failures, low on toner, all of those things to actually lower the service cost. And that is really attractive to a partner who's actually in the business of servicing a fleet of devices. Yeah. Because when you actually are able to predict when toner runs out, you're much more efficient in terms of sending out your service person, you save cost, you drive cost down, you get more money in your pocket. So very, very exciting around that. And something that I don't know if Enrique spent as much time as he could have, and probably because we're relatively early, but the Jet Advantage Link strategy. And if you get a chance, you should see that in some of the showcase. There's about 300 developers basically developing applications for that ecosystem. And these are relatively sophisticated applications that do, a great example that you'll see over there is automatic read action. For legal offices. So imagine you're a paralegal and your job is printing out documents, looking for address, looking for names, and basically going through with a highlighter and basically blacking out, things that you don't want to see. Now imagine the new use case. You basically have a document your lawyer sends you. He says, hey, I need this redacted and sent to the opposing attorney. Mm-hmm. You basically copy and you go to your MFP, you put that in, you hit copy, sends it to the cloud does the automatic redaction, prints out a copy for you that's redacted, and then says, hey, do you want to save this to a case matter, something we sent to the opposing attorney. So that changes the way, that paralegal does work. It takes just an incredible amount of human resources out of the equation. Again, more money savings. It's an opportunity for a channel partner to just go to a law office saying, hey, I notice you do a lot of redaction, and here is a great solution for you. That's a fraction of the cost of labor, right? So,
to what degree, you mentioned there's a few hundred partners on board from launch with different apps, and you guys have played with sort of apps on the printers in the past. This seems like it's really kind of taken that much wider. To what degree is that that API, that structure, open to partners to be able to craft their own?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is an open ecosystem. So yeah. We basically built a framework based on mobile applications today. So anyone who's developed an application for Android would be very, very familiar with the framework, the application framework that we have. And so it's a completely open system. Channel partners, we have, of those 300 developers, probably about 50 or 60 of them are channel partners.
Okay.
That basically have said, hey, I need a quick and dirty expense report system. I need to be able to scan the menu and fax it to this person.
Right.
And that's a workflow that they have and they understand today. And we enable them to make an application within a period of, you know, within a week, you can build something that's pretty complicated, right? So if you have a mobile app, and then we use APIs.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the big content management systems out there, like iMatter is a big content management system for legal offices.
Yeah.
They already have a specific mobile API.
Sure.
And so we basically adopt that mobile API, and you can reuse a lot of that code in terms of our application. So that's the differentiator we have versus all the others in the industry.
You touched on the prescriptive analytics abilities.
Right.
Can you get a little bit more in depth on what those are doing? I was talking to obviously that's a big plus for managed service prescriptive providers, and that's talking to a partner this morning. That's kind of the holy grail for him, is to be able to go, I'm doing a service call here. What other printers in the will need attention in the future?
Exactly. So it is the holy grail. It optimizes service costs. Mm-hmm. We're not quite there yet, but I can tell you that our Gen 1, which is SDS version 1, had 5 use cases that were very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Amongst those were, you know, automatic reboot. So you don't even need to send someone out there. You basically helped us. I can reboot the machine. Is it working? Did your blue screen go away? Did your paper jam? Or you can go to the next screen. So that's that immediately, huge savings from that.
Yeah.
We have predictive toner. So we're able to predict and basically manage the toner alerts. So that gives you more life of your toner cartridge. Again, mm-hmm. a huge benefit. We actually built in our SDS 1.0 a error code. So depending on the error code the printer comes back with, mm-hmm. we tie that into our online help database and our service manuals. So imagine a sales rep, once they know this goes to their tool and says, FM Audit says, I've got this problem. Okay, FM Audit, because we built the API into channel partners' tools.
Yeah.
And once it says this, I've got this problem, it knows the error code, and then it ties it all the way into the HP help database to show you a video about how to solve that particular error code. So you don't have to go and, okay, what does this thing do? How do I punch this in? I search on the internet how to fix this thing. It's all mm-hmm. done for you automatically. So just with that SDS 1.0 use cases, we had 5, I highlight 3, that gets a channel partner, you know, 15% to 20%+ savings on service, which is huge.
Absolutely.
So that's step number 1. Step number 2, which is something we talked about today, a little bit, the funny video with
the
Tom Cruise.
Report.
I thought that was pretty cool, but it gives you a vision where you want to go. It's like that video is really starting to talk about the 2.0 use cases. That's where we use predictive analytics. The theory around predictive analytics is really, it's basically big data on steroids, right? You just use the printer. Our printer, an average printer, probably tracks about, you know, 1,500 error codes. Some of which we expose to the front control panel, some of which we don't. So temperature, humidity sensors, number of times the drum's been used, you know, how much your power supply is surging versus not. All that data is actually data that we feed back to our centralized database. We analyze that data, mm-hmm. and from that data, we can predict. Here's a stat. We can predict within 30 days a failure of a fuser with 90% accuracy. So that starts getting you toward the holy grail. If I could tell you that, hey, I'm within 90-95% confidence that drum's going to be end of life, or that fuser's going to fail, or that printer's going to go down,
you might wanna,
now you're getting close. Now you're like, hey, you're out there anyway. You know, you're on your next visit, check this unit, check where the fuser is. Hey, maybe it's something you've got to change and start thinking about. Right? Or, hey, this is something that's going to happen. So You do that with predictive analytics around toner. As long as you feed it location information, then you're like, okay, here's the toner cartridges that are within 5%.
Right.
And their usage level tells me it's going to go over, you know, it's going to run out before you go get there next time. So you don't have to run or ship an extra tone cartridge. Change the cyan cartridge in the cyan. Change a magenta cartridge in that particular printer, because that's at a point where the next time you come out, you might, you know, people will say, I need a new magenta cartridge, and then you got to dial in and you got to go find it. You might as well just predictively do it. So for us, that's the SDS 2.0, is that predictive kind of, again, not quite there yet, but I think it's getting close, where you can do drum, you can do toner management, and you can start anticipating what the customer needs. And it's a lot like what we do today with Instant Ink. Our Instant Ink system is smart enough to know your usage pattern and the amount of ink left in the cartridge.
Right.
And so before it runs out, we have very algorithms that we've developed over the last 4 years with that service, where we send a cartridge out not too early and definitely not too late.
Yeah.
And so we're able to predict when a customer is going to run out, and we try to send the cartridge the week before. Because you send it too early, they lose it, and then they call you for another one, and it's cost. And then you send it too late, well, then they're like, they're really pissed, because it's like, hey, dude, you know, I told you, I don't want to run donut cartridge or ink cartridge, I don't want to run out. So that starts getting you closer to that holy grail. But I think maybe Gen 3, Gen 4, we start getting location information, right?
Yeah.
And understanding by channel partner, by print fleet, by location, then you're starting, with predictive analytics on top of that, then you're starting to optimize service. And I'm thinking you're taking service costs down, you know, I think that it could be 60-70% down from where it is today, because it's a very inefficient model. The model is very, very inefficient today. It's like you know, a channel partner sends a service technician out many times, probably a majority of the time. They don't have the part in the car to fix the problem.
Right, so it becomes a
two-trip. So generally, it's a diagnostics visit first.
Yeah.
And then it's a, okay, then I go get the part. It's like anything breaks at your house. I mean, I had a pool heater go at my house. Yeah, yeah. And the first visit never gets done, right? The first visit is like, what's the problem? Well, that's your problem. Well, it's going to take me 3 weeks to order that part. And you're down for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way copiers work. It's like there's so many models across so many vendors, across A4, A3. The odds of you having a drum for that particular printer, slim. The odds of you having a cyan cartridge for that particular printer, slim.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I believe that we can change the service cost to a third of what it is today. Mm. I don't think that's ambitious at all. I think we're already seeing with the first pass 20%, we can get down to a service cost that's 70% reduction from where you are today. And now you're talking real dollars. That's why people should be excited about SDS.
All right.
Make sense?
I'm curious to get your thoughts on the spread of managed print throughout sort of the broader channel, especially because managed services on the IT side, and maybe it's a function of managed print historically kind of coming in from the top enterprise down,
right.
and sort of managed services on the IT infrastructure side being in a large part SMB up in many cases. But they've been historically two sort of distinct communities, and there are some partners who do both,
don't get me wrong, but
it hasn't really reached that breadth. We're starting to see some tools from you guys and others that make it a little easier to do managed print. At what point do you see it sort of reaching a tipping point and managed print becoming a much broader play?
Well, so for us, I think you're right. For managed print services, it started in the large enterprise accounts because those guys spend the most money on print.
Yeah.
And they have this print infrastructure that they, hey, somebody just get control of this for me.
Yeah.
I've got too many printers in my environment. I've got people printing they shouldn't. I've got printers everywhere. Everyone wants their own. I got to manage this space. And so I think for us, over the last 10 years, I think that in corporate enterprise, I think that we reach a saturation point. People who are going to manage print have already, for the most part, gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that probably peaks out around 80%. And then 20%, just to say I'm managing my PCs anyway, it's not that big of a deal. I just keep it this way. So I think that's where you're going to start getting the saturation point. And we're getting there with large customers. I think as you move down market, I think you have a convergence between copiers and printers.
Right.
And I think that's really where our A3 strategy, I think Dion mentioned this, I don't know, you mentioned it on stage, or you must have mentioned it in the press Q&A. I think as you move down market, where you're going towards SMB customers,
yeah,
they have a copier channel partner that's always been service-led, service model, A3. Those copier channel partners are going in and increasingly say, hey, I can manage not only your A3 fleet, but I can also manage your A4 fleet. Mm-hmm. And you know, they might not call it managed print, but they basically put everything on contract. It looks and feels like managed print, just it's under a copier contract.
Sure.
Right? It's like, okay, you can copy a page or you can print a page. It doesn't matter. I charge you the same amount. I charge you service. I charge you toner. I charge you color and all that stuff, and we true up. Mm-hmm. So all that works, and then I think as we move downstream with our channel partners, and a lot of our A3 channel partners are saying, hey, you have a great A3 device. I love those. I love your SDS technology. I also want to have all your A4 devices as well. So as we're pushing A3 and our push there, we're also seeing a lot of drag for A4 devices as well. So, okay. So I'm starting to see that happening more and more in the SMB space. Not through, you know, direct HP or through our traditional IT, right, but really through this copier channel. And that's happening. And that's happening at a very, very rapid pace right now. That because the copier's channel sees that as growth opportunity.
Right.
Right. And so that's why you see so many copier vendors now announcing A4 strategies. Because mm-hmm. they're saying, hey, you know, we make copiers, but our dealer channel wants the A3 and A4. So as that accelerates and picks up steam, you're seeing more and more of that drive the growth of that office automation channel. And that's why we need to be there, frankly. I mean, so.
Okay. In the press session earlier, you made, you know, sustainability is obviously a big topic at HP always, and it's especially, I think, under the lights here at reInvent. You made the comment that this sort of being service nature or service oriented with the print products and designing for that is good for all involved, yeah, HP partners, customers, and the environment. Can you explain that last part? What is it about service oriented printers that makes it a greener play?
Yeah. So for us, as we look at the print output in the world, mm-hmm. and if you said, let's look at a world where you have people who are buying their printers, managing their toner cartridges, you know, having each a printer everywhere on the desktop. What happens when you go from that environment to an environment where you have everything under contract and a managed print service? Instantly, mm-hmm. you see a 20% reduction. That's, you know, 20% better for the environment because people aren't printing as much, not consuming more power. That's number one. That's the first savings. And we do that because we enable people to pick up print jobs when they want. So the way the use case works is you just print from your desk. You might or might not go over there to print the print job. Yeah, you might not want it. So there, you always have the stranded print jobs all over the place. And not only is that environmentally wasteful, it's also a big security risk.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, I mean, there might be very important presentations, content that just sits at the printer that people don't walk up and pick it up. It just shows up. And so it's like it could walk away. It's got legs. Yeah. Many of the espionage in the world happens that way. There's like, hey, I just see these print jobs. So you reduce the amount of print jobs. I think the second thing that happens is also in terms of managing that whole footprint. So mm-hmm. again, in a unmanaged print environment, you'll see desktop printers, you see small workgroup printers, you see department printers, you see printers everywhere. And that is inefficient because of the lower utilization rate. Mm. Right? People want it when they want it, but many times they don't use it. And so when we design a managed print infrastructure, we optimize the utilization rates. So we optimize, hey, there's a departmental printer. Yes, it means you gotta walk from your desk over to this department, swipe your badge, and get the print job. But we know that when we consolidate print jobs, that's a more efficient printer because it will be utilized more. And so it will always be on, it will always be ready, it's got high capacity input trays and output trays, but it's high utilization. So you'll need less printers. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is when we manage the printers, we are also able to recycle. So it's a closed loop. So we get a lot more miles out of a printer, and we reuse and refurb and recycle that printer. So it's a closed loop. So you get less print, you get less printers, lower energy consumption, lower carbon footprint. You get highly utilized printers, and you get less printing. And all those things add up to a pretty substantial savings in terms of environmental under managed print services versus not. Does that make sense?
Perfect. Thank you. Just one more before we wrap it up. You have in print the advantage of being, at least I'd say, the better part of a decade ahead, sort of in the move from transactional to contractual, as opposed to kind of the endpoint world, whether that's DAS or whatever that is. Curious if there's one or two major points, whether it's best practices or mindsets or any kind of takeaways you may have from the managed print world that you think would do well to permeate into that that world where devices are more involved.
Yeah, I think designing for a contractual environment is a big deal. So, our corollary with our DAS team is they're redesigning their products with the right sensors, with the right predictive capabilities, so that we can actually enable some of the use cases that really add customer value. Mm-hmm. So for us, when we went from transactional to contractual, we had to design in all the SDS sensors.
Right.
We had to design larger cartridges to drive the operating costs lower. So what the PC teams have started doing now is they're starting to design, temperature sensors. All that data now goes back to the cloud. Mm-hmm. CPU utilization rates. All of the hard drives now actually are monitored in terms of, all the error codes. It's very similar to SDS. You can predict when a hard drive fails. It's pretty deterministic in terms of, a number of errors that you get, right sectors, bad sectors. I don't know if you ever had a hard drive fail on you. Sometimes you kind of like, hey, it's not working quite right. And then it's like, okay, it doesn't work at all. It doesn't spin at all. So mechanical parts generally have, they don't fail like this. They fail. There's always that little tail. And so designing and understanding and tracking, that's really important. I think from a services perspective, how you work at the channel partner is very different, right? Yeah. So understanding that from what we get out of services, how we think about the business model. We think about, for us, move from print, we get 100% aftermarket share. We get, the actual support services on a printer. That's new revenue that we wouldn't have gotten in a transactional model.
Right.
Right. And similarly, for a channel partner who's looking at DAS, they can't look at it as, I just sold you a PC under contract, or just sold you a PC with a $600 ring. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to sell you a contract that's going to be $40 a month. Not good for me. I'd rather just have the $600 ring. But what they need to understand is that $40, right, is probably at the over the life, instead of just taking that $600 PC, they probably make $1,000.
Yeah.
Because they can layer on services for that PC, replacement, data archive, all accessories where there's margin. And so understanding just how the business model works between a transactional model versus a contractual model is something we have a lot of work to do internal to HP, how we think about it, but also certainly with our channel partners. If you're a transactional channel partner, you're like, why do I want again this $400, $40 a month versus this thing? Well, you get the applications, you get the services, you get the images, you get antivirus, you get the accessories. Okay, that's pretty attractive. Right now I can have a bigger basket in order to go after. I think that's the mental model as an industry we have to go through.
All right.
Make sense?
Thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
There you have it, a quick mark through the print market with Tuan Tran from HP. I'd like to thank Tuan for joining us and for offering his thoughts. Thank HP for having me out to reInvent, and thank you for listening. The podcast will be here for the next couple of days as we'll talk about HP's changing partner investment priorities and what they mean for the company's partners with Gary Sims, head of America's partner programs at HP, tomorrow. And on Thursday, we'll tie a bow on our coverage of reInvent with Marianne Yule, president and CEO of HP Canada, and John Camilleri, channel chief for HP Canada. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.